Hello you, it's Alvern here from the Success Unscrambled podcast. I'm so excited today because we've got a special guest on with ourselves and her name is Marion, and I'm going to get Marion to introduce herself.
Hi Alvern, thank you so much for having me. My name is Marion Hobson and I am the Conscious Sales Guide for consultants, coaches, and alternative health practitioners.
Wow, that is a very long title. So Marion, please do tell us, all of us listening here, what does that mean?
Hopefully even the long title is clear though. it's very specific. I help people be able to communicate their message in a way that persuades those who need them most to desire to work with them. I find a lot of people try to prove themselves and show them everything they know, and that actually ends up pushing away the people they are most here on earth to serve. Okay. I also like to call myself a guide because a guide, like a trail guide, has been there before, right? So they are on the path with you, whereas a coach may or may not have actually walked your path. Okay. And I have definitely walked the path of sales, both as a consultant and in several other industries, as I've been in the sales industry for about 30 years. Nice. My first job was a sales job. So that is... Those are some of sales and guide and conscious. Conscious sales guides, because I really want people to be aware of how they're selling and what they're selling. And that really affects how easy it is to sell or how hard. Because you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, I hate sales and it's so hard. When you get conscious and understand that you really hate rejection, but love sales and love the process and start playing a game with that process of sales, you can really learn to enjoy it.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard sales explained that way before.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for that, Marion. So I have to obviously ask the very interesting question, because obviously you said you had the very first job was your sales job, etc. So what exactly do you enjoy? Oh, sorry, why? Why do you do what you do?
Why do I do what I do? Because, you know, so many entrepreneurs have hang-ups around sales.
Okay.
They have this great idea. They have this great plan, and they feel in their heart that they have a solid message that they want to serve and share with the world. And yet when it comes to that actually asking for money for what they're offering, it becomes like this wall, and they are unable to climb that wall successfully and comfortably. And especially for those who are selling services such as consulting, alternative health, and coaching that is directly like from themselves, and they are actually selling themselves. And so all of these blocks and any little tiny positive or negative thought that they have about themselves affects that process. And so it was really that, Alvern, because I came from real estate sales, advertising sales, pest control sales, and then started coaching. It was a whole new world trying to sell myself.
Okay.
And so that transition of, because I have the expertise and the knowledge of how to do sales in the traditional world, and then the experience of selling myself, I can blend those two in a unique way that's very distinctive to me.
Wow. That sounds very interesting. And then, okay, like you mentioned, a lot of people say they hate sales when they actually hate rejection. So what do you enjoy most about what you do, especially when it comes to dealing with these kinds of clients?
Oh, you know what I love most about what I do, Alvaryn, actually, is this game. It's like, because I find that the people who are most resistant to me when they first meet me mm-hmm. are actually the people who need me most.
Oh, okay.
And I have to be gentle and play with them in their game of, no, I don't need you. No, I don't want you. And I'm going to avoid every call and connection that you try to make with me. That's great. And I love you for it because I know that this is your process. And so I'm going to stay in this game with you and continue to follow up with you and to continue to see where you are so that we can actually get you where you want to be.
Wow.
And that when you view it as a game instead of, oh no, I just got rejected again, then you can see it's them that's actually going through that process mm. instead of you just following up and supporting them wherever they are at that moment.
Okay, cool. And so you mentioned a little bit in earlier that you had your obvious experience in your first sales job, and then you had different experiences in all the different sales roles. All kids, when they're growing up, they say, oh, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a pilot. I want to be a doctor.
No, I did not want to be a salesperson.
Who was the person who inspired you to get into sale and you know, why?
Oh, well, so you're kind of asking two different questions or two different stories there. So growing up, I imagined myself teaching and training groups of people. Like, I didn't have an imaginary friend. I had an imaginary group of friends, but I didn't like put two and two together that that could actually be a career until like I was old enough and somebody started saying, well, what were your dreams as a kid? And then I went, oh yeah, that was probably a symbol that I should be talking to lots of people. But I also wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to help people feel better in their lives. And so coaching and being a guide kind of blends those two dreams. But as far as getting into sales, I discovered that I could not be a doctor because I was not good at the math and science. I was like, I am not dragging myself through this, regardless of how much I want to help people, when I got to college. And so I had to look at, okay, what do I have the most credits in? And I had really enjoyed Middle East history. And okay. So I like Near Eastern Studies is technically what the college degree is called. So I looked at doing that, but that would have, like, it would have take just to take one class, because not all the classes were offered because it was such a small major.
Okay.
Not very many people wanted it. I ended up just taking going into history, because all of those classes would transfer to a history degree and I could get done with college because I was up to here with it, right? So, and that's a long version of the story, but I got out of college and then like, okay, I've got this history degree. What do I do with it? I don't really want to teach, just don't really want to teach, but I need a job and I need to pay rent and money. And so I had a friend of mine who was a salesperson, and he said, you've got the personality for this. You should just try to get a sales job. And I gave him a resume, couldn't get a job at his company, but he triggered something in me and he helped me with some interview preparation and things. And I took every single bit and piece of any type of sales thing that I had done and transferred it into that interview and got the job. And it's just kind of rolled from there.
Wow. That is amazing. Like I said, not a lot of people say, oh, I want to be a salesperson. But the fact that you actually did it and actually enjoyed it, it's just wow.
So yeah.
What exactly in sales did you enjoy the most, like doing in sales?
You know what, Alvaryn, when I first started that job, I did not. But I had this, I knew that I had to pay the rent and I knew I had to have food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were required to call 25 people a day in that first job. We could do whatever else we wanted, and but we had to, if we wanted to keep our job in the first 3 months,
okay,
call 25 people a day.
Okay.
And I, if you'll let me go slightly on a sidetrack, I did that. I just like, I'm going to call 25 people. I'm going to spend the rest of the time, you know, learning my scripts better and preparing and stuff, but I'm going to call 25 people, no questions asked, because I want to keep this job. And the guy, you know, one of the guys who was hired with me was named Larry, and he would spend hours preparing for one phone call. And then he would call, dial the number, and he would most likely get a voicemail. And then he spent hours preparing for the next phone call because he wanted to be exactly perfect. And I, this is the reason I tell you about Larry, because I got to a point where I knew that I didn't have to prepare for a phone call. It was going to come to my mind. The things that I had prepared, the things that I had studied would come to my mind. And then when I became a coach, all of a sudden I found myself as a Larry trying to prepare and prepare and spend hours before I'd make a call. And when I just said, okay, bag this, I'm going to make the calls. Again, I started realizing, oh my goodness, I know what I'm doing. Mm. I just have to get out there and connect with people.
Okay. That's amazing. So who in your family at all? Better be a dotted line or a straight line. Was your role model that got you to the point where you are today?
Okay. Well, yeah, we do the dotted line. Who in my family probably would be my grandfather on my father's side, mm-hmm, my grandfather on my father's side, because he was a go-getter and he just kept trying.
Okay.
You know, he started his family the year that the Depression hit, 1929. And he was in college at the time it hit, and trying to provide for his family and pay for college. He took every job possible, even if they didn't pay him. Mm. And the great, you know, the greatest story is that he decided to go back to college full time. And he went to each of his employers and he negotiated with the people who had not paid him. Well, this water company, you haven't paid me, but the lumber company hasn't paid their water bill. So if the water company gives the equal amount of pay to the credit of the lumber company, and then I haven't paid my rent, so the lumber company will then give lumber to my landlord.
Oh my gosh.
And he just did that kind of thing throughout his life. He had various different businesses, he had various different jobs. He was just super, super creative.
That's amazing.
Impulse at every moment, because I'm going to solve that problem, right?
Right.
So that would be he would be my role model.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Talking about thinking outside of the box.
Yes, totally.
Okay.
For sure.
So what is the best advice you've ever received? I know a lot of people always say, okay, when I was a teenager, I received this advice. When I'm in my 20s, I received this advice. But you can decide when is the best advice you've ever received, no matter whatever age it was.
Yeah, well, that's actually a very easy question for me to answer.
Good.
Because this advice applies to all of those ranges of life.
Perfect.
And though I heard it as a teenager, and it's probably why I'm, anyway, the advice is you have to learn from history or you are doomed to repeat it.
Wow.
And that first and foremost is why I started taking all those history classes. But as I've gone throughout my life, I've learned that I have to learn from my parents' history. I have to learn from my country's history, but most importantly, I have to learn from my history or I will continue to go back into the same cycle over and over. And so that really is the most valuable advice I've ever heard.
Wow. It's a bit like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
That's amazing. I've never heard it said that way before. Some people always say, oh, history has a way of repeating itself. But to make it more personal, where if you don't learn from it, you're going to have to repeat it. Oh, that sounds so scary.
Yeah.
So far you've gone through, you've had your sales job, you've gone from job to job, you've realized that you're so good at this, you're now a coach. My biggest question to you is, what is the one thing, because some people say, oh, there's, you know, several things. What is the one thing that has impacted your life to date?
The one thing that is, oh my, that one's not so easy to answer. The one thing, mostly because it immediately something came to mind, but I, you know, do you really share that one? But it's probably the biggest thing that has impacted my life, and that is the experience that I had when I was 4 years old, and I was became a victim of a very tough, tense situation that my mother did not understand what was going on, and so she didn't protect me as she should have. And the reasons, not only did it impact me, but I have had to work all my life to become a hero instead of a victim. Mm-hmm. Someone who overcame great, immense of pain, amounts of pain. Mm-hmm. And someone who has not only overcome them, but made the best of life and said, hey, because I've overcome these difficult things, I can be an amazing person that can support other people in wherever they are in life.
Oh, wow.
And so that really has made a huge impact in making me who I am.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant. So tell me a little bit about, you specifically deal with people who work in the area of alternative medicine.
Okay.
Yes. No. Okay.
Go ahead. That is one group of people I work with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the other group?
Consultants and coaches.
Okay. Okay. So with regards to the people in alternative medicine, say for example, and they're listening to you right now, they're listening to even the recording of this, and they're thinking, okay, specifically when it comes to sales, like, is there a difference between the sales methodology for people who are consultants and coaches and alternative medicine, or is it all the same, or do you, yeah, basically that's the question, actually.
Okay. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because to be quite honest, one of the reasons that I am most interested in working with alternative health practitioners is because when they they have such amazing gifts to give.
Okay.
And yet, because of the healthcare scenarios, they have to be really careful about how they speak and what they promise or don't promise. Okay. And so that's one of the reasons I love to work with them, because I can teach them how to talk about the results and not necessarily talk about the symptoms. Mm. And that's still true for coaches and consultants. They still need to focus on the results. This is what you're going to see when you work with me. And this is how you're going to feel before you work with me, but not necessarily be specific about you're feeling terrible because you're doing da, 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 da. So the process is very similar for both. The reason why is very different.
Okay. And then for you personally, when you decided, okay, I've had enough of being an employee and I now want to become a coach, or as you say, a guide. I love the word guide. Like, how did you mentally decide I'm going to make that step, that changeover?
Oh, dang. I just, you know, like most things, I jumped in initially when I got pregnant the first time. I was like, I'm not working full time. And so I actually jumped in feet, you know, 2 feet in to real estate and becoming a real estate investor initially. But the transition from real estate to coach was really where the journey was, because I realized that I was doing what my parents had done and had told me I had to do to make a living working part-time. And so I tried, my friends tease me that I tried every work at home opportunity out there. I didn't, but I did try dozens. And this one worked for that reason, that one worked for another reason. And none of them felt really good until I happened upon a coaching certification program. And I really just responded to an email that I saw and said, huh, that looks interesting. Taking the course just went, oh my goodness, this is what I meant to do in life. Where has this been? So that's, I was very, brilliant. Very glad to find it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So when it comes to dealing with your clients who are coaches and consultants and people who are in alternative medicine, do you make sure that they are in their zone, in their, making sure that it's their passion first? Because as you mentioned, sales can be very tough. It can be full of rejections. And if it is, they're not doing what they are passionate about, no matter what you do, they will never be successful. Do you try to make sure that that's their passion first?
Yes, and because I find so many are passionate up front and you can get them to talk about it. But when you get them into the process, it's like, oh my, I have to go over that wall. I have to do that. And so what I do is get them back into that place of passion. Okay. That's one of my key services, is let's keep your passion going. So it's easy to jump over those walls, right? And they are just molehill kind of things instead of big, huge mountains. And I do, I completely agree that to do that, you've got to really deeply feel it and connect with that passion. And then it is easy to move forward.
Wow. That's a one-of-a-kind guide. I hope you guys are listening to this. Marion is a one-of-a-kind guide. She just don't teach you how to do your sales. She helps you with your passion as well. That's brilliant. And what about those people who are like you? They know this is their passion and they want to start, they want to move from being an employee. Like they're doing it as a side hustle. Let's say, for example, they're doing it as a side hustle and they want to make that step. And one of the things they actually need to do is to understand what you teach, which is the sales technique. Do you help them along that process then moving from employee to entrepreneur, basically?
Yeah. We make a plan. Number one, we make a plan for step by step what needs to happen. Every time I talk to someone who's doing that, they're doing coaching and consulting or their alternative stuff as a side hustle, I say, so if you could wave a magic wand, when would you like to be completely out of your job? All of them, 97% of them say yesterday.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, okay, let's add some realism to that magic wand. And of course, then they say, well, I want to do it in 6 months. And some of them could because they are really willing to dedicate themselves. But when they have their job and their side hustle and family commitments, we have to start by giving them perspective. This is going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly because you've hired me. And let's still give us, you know, it's probably still going to be a year to 18 months before you can completely replace your job. And that's only if you make sure you stay on track. And good, bad, indifferent, the perspective helps you on those hard days that, hey, I'm making little bits of progress and it's going to get me where I'm going. You know, if you turn on the car and start driving across the United States is my analogy. So you're going to eventually get there as long as you keep going, right? And you just can't turn off the car. And like my best example for me, like, because I do cross country trips. This spring I went out to visit my son who was in college in Utah, right? It's 36 hours of driving. I'm sorry, say that wrong. I did in 36 hours. It's 32 hours of driving, and I did 36 hours. So if you want to replace your job, right, you have to be the same. You can be diligent and not take any breaks at all. And even if you feel like you're going as a snail's pace, you will still get there. Okay. But if you are operating, you know, it's the rabbit and the hare analogy. If you're operating like the rabbit and go, rah, crazy work, and then stop, you won't get there. You have to be diligent, consistent, and see your perspective that you're making progress in the right direction.
Perfect. So for them, then, as you said, as you mentioned, it is depending on their current situation that they can take the leap then from employee to entrepreneur. There isn't a one size fits all.
Not at all. No.
Okay. So it's time for a few fun questions.
Okay.
Who would you trade places with for a day?
Oh my goodness. Who would I trade places with for a day? For a day, you know, that would probably be someone like Jack Canfield or Tony Robbins.
Oh, wow.
To really experience where that is, because I think I want to be there, but I really want to experience it and say, yes, I want to be this busy and have influenced this many people. Or, you know what, no matter how much work it takes, I'm not going to get there. Because that's kind of where I'm, do I really want to go that hard and that big? And so that's what my answer would be today and now.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I didn't think about that. That one definitely is a curveball for me.
Okay.
What is something that you long believed to be true, but you later found out that it wasn't true?
Oh, wow. That one, I could give you so many answers. I really have recently, especially, been paying attention to how many things my parents said were the truth and the way to do things. And even my husband disagrees with them, right? And I have to just go, all right, I'm going to detach. I don't have to do it my parents' way. So if we summarized it, it would probably be that. My parents taught me so many good things. Mm. But I have to be very distinctive and very conscious and careful about, yes, this is good and this is true. And you know what? This other part, it doesn't have to be exactly the way my parents said it had to be.
Brilliant. I love that. Something you wish we would all pay attention to as a world globally.
Oh, my. So I really wish we would just pay more attention to each other. I love the song from, you know, my teenage years. And the name of it. I hope the Russians love their children too, right?
Never heard of it.
Because that was, I'm trying to remember the artist and I'm not thinking
okay.
of it right now.
It's okay, I can look it up.
But the point was, it was during the Cold War, and he said, you know, if the Russians love their children, and recognize that we love our children, then they won't have any desire to bomb up, right? And that's what I mean when I say, if we pay attention to each other in our hearts, we all have the same desires for good things and for love and happiness and, you know, some recreation time, maybe a little bit of work.
So very true. Something on your bucket list?
On my bucket list, I want to hike the Appalachian Trail on a through hike.
Wow.
It would take 4.5 to 5 months, but my husband has agreed that he will do it with me. So I just have to get my income to a place that it will, you know, and my business to a place where I'll still be earning money.
4.5 to 5 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a serious bucket list there.
And I will have Wi-Fi, but only intermittently, not a secure schedule. So I have to be really sure with my business by then.
Wow.
5 years. That's the goal.
And finally, guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Oh, I don't have very many, I think. Well, I took this personal development course a few years ago, and they pointed out that sometimes our guilty pleasures are things like nagging our children and stuff like that. And so that's immediately what comes to mind. I really, really get into that way more than I should. But what you're probably asking is something more like, I really, this is weird, I know, but you have to understand where I came from. I love to take chocolate chips and a handful of coconut and marshmallows and just take them, like, take a bite of each and just enjoy it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a big deal to me. I know it seems like a really crazy one, but, you know, as my husband says, if you knew the Collier family, which is my maiden name, you would understand that simple things like that are really guilty pleasures.
That's brilliant. Okay, so we've come to the point where we want to narrow everything down to 5 key points so listeners can take away. And of course, they will need to contact you for more information. So what are the 5 key things you want to leave with them in a nutshell?
Sure. Can I summarize everything in 5? My mind. So the first one would be, you need to know yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to know yourself and be aware when you're stressed, when you're grounded, when you are an entrepreneur, there's lots of things that can trigger you, and you need to be aware of how those things affect you and, you know, get processes in place so you can get back grounded and back focused as quickly as possible whenever those things do happen. Mm-hmm. I would say the second one is to know your audience.
Okay.
Really be very, very conscious and very, very aware of what they are looking for and continually curious about how what you're doing is interacting with them. The third one is take time for spiritual things. Whatever your spiritual practice is, whatever your religious background is or is not, take time to connect with who you are as a spiritual being on a daily basis. And this one kind of goes along that, but it's actually very different. Self-care.
Okay.
You know, whenever you make a sale, go reward yourself. Whenever you do something really courageous, even if it's pat yourself on the back, give yourself a hug, be conscious of it and give yourself rewards and make time for self-care.
Okay.
And the last one is continual growth. Make sure that you are always setting yourself up to accomplish new goals and set yourself up to become a better person. You're a great, awesome, wonderful person today, just how you are.
Oh, nice.
If you have a continual growth pattern, you want to be better, and that's great.
That's awesome. That's amazing. It was so very interesting talking to you today. So where can listeners find you?
Okay. So the best place to find me is my website, and that's profitonfire.us. You can register for my newsletter. You can see about a possible call. It's a very basic website just to say, hey, yes, I'm a real person, but that's the best way to connect with me. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm fairly consistent on Facebook. I'm trying to get better at LinkedIn. And I have an Instagram account, but it's not really one that you want to pay attention to. It's really just wanted to remind kids now and again.
That's brilliant. And just to summarize again, obviously, we at the start of the podcast, we mentioned what it is you actually do. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure I understand, so you help people who are coaches and consultants and people who are practicing in the alternative medicine field improve their success when it comes to sales.
Correct.
Perfect. In terms of the step-by-step, what you actually do, they can find all that information on your website.
Yes.
Perfect. It's so great speaking to you today, Marion. And to everyone listening to the podcast, it was absolutely great sharing Marion with you today and what she's accomplished, a little bit about her background, that she's a real person and she cares about the people who she works with. So until next time, enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week. Bye for now.